For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to the KRMG In-Depth Podcast. I'm Russell Mills. In this episode, we're going to take a detailed look at how nursing homes and long-term care facilities in the United States have dealt with the COVID-19 pandemic. Across our nation, facilities have become hotspots for COVID, and for several reasons. A company founded 3 years ago in Annapolis, Maryland, has developed protocols and technology it says form the most powerful and effective infection control and prevention programs available anywhere. And the company's owner tells me they're launching a major expansion right here in Oklahoma. This discussion is with co-founder and owner Ellsworth Harris of AMS On Site. It is presented, unedited, and in full. Are on with Ellsworth Harris, and I guess I don't know your exact title. I'm going to go with founder, CEO, owner, and chief bottle washer. Is that?
So yeah, add the bathrooms in there too, and you got
add the bathrooms at AMS On Site, and this is a company that is based in Annapolis, Maryland. But you're going to start hearing more about them in the news because you've kind of put together a partnership with a company here in Tulsa called Sunshine Care Partners. Full disclosure, I work with the CEO of Sunshine Care Partners right here on KRMG on Sunday mornings. We do a show called Senior Class. And so I'm not going to go too much into that because I've done a separate interview with Mr. Rusty McMurray, who is the Sunshine Care guy. But I was very interested to talk with you about what you guys are planning in your, I guess, sort of invasion. It's really not an invasion, but your expansion into Oklahoma and you know what that means for folks. So can we start by you telling us a little bit about what AMS On Site is, what you guys do?
Absolutely. Appreciate the time. My partner and I, we have both been in long-term care for 15, 16 years. My father and I, at the very beginning when I got into long-term care, we pioneered a concept to provide dental services into nursing homes, which was one of those not talked about, kind of neglected service opportunities at that time. Now we have some good coverage, including in your state by some groups now. I've watched the regulations and I watch for opportunities, and I know how nursing homes operate, and I kind of know where we can help them and where they have things under control. And I started to watch all of the infection prevention rules and regulations coming out of the CDC, the clinical science stuff coming out of the CDC, and CMS starting to put additional rules and regulations in place based upon how the CDC was assessing information. Several things started to come to mind. One, antibiotic overusage in nursing homes is 70% per the CDC is unnecessary and overprescribed. And there's a, you know, we kind of have some concepts of multi-resistant drug organisms and not having compelling antibiotics if we're not careful and have better stewardship. Thus our name, Antimicrobial Stewardship, AMS On Site. We also saw that there were so many new rules and guidance coming in, and there was no new financial revenue for nursing homes to have to pick up these new rules and regulations. So we knew that there would be an opportunity to help nursing homes forge through these regulations and to be compliant. So we formed AMS On Site, believe it or not, 3 years ago. When the pandemic hit, we were kind of on the forefront of being able to provide what we call infection prevention mentorship to nursing homes. And so in a nutshell, we provide infection prevention mentorship into nursing homes. We know nursing homes. We know how to engage with them. We know they're under duress, and there are frontline superheroes and soldiers in there right now, and we're kind of like the recruits coming in to help. Russell, I would also just note that one of our key areas that we focus on for another regulation regarding infection control is nursing homes are required to have an infection surveillance program. And the infection surveillance programs that have been implemented are good, but they have lots of room to improve. And we've built an infection surveillance program which requires a full facility to be tested, all residents, for multiple infections at the same time, resulting those identifying all infections and being able to address them simultaneously rather than taking one specific area and focusing on that and possibly missing many more. The exclamation on that would be looking at the upcoming flu season and all of our COVID-19 testing that we're doing. We're skipping looking for the flu, as an example. So that's a, Russell, that's what AMS On Site was built for. And what we're looking, you know, guiding nursing homes in Oklahoma and about eight other states across the country right now.
So it sounds to me like you guys kind of you got a little head start. You were kind of thinking along these lines anyway. And I'll ask you a question similar to what I asked Rusty is, you know, how much did the COVID pandemic impact the decision to drive forward? Did it make you, I don't know, did it make you work more quickly? Did it trigger a response that's, oh my gosh, we need to do this right now? Are we already there?
That's a great question. We had a great program before COVID. Because we were started small and kind of grew, we had time to build smarter processes and protocols, and we learned every day ourselves. We have a great team of certified infection preventionists out there, and they kept bringing us more and more information from insights and things that they were seeing in nursing homes. But nobody was prepared for the pandemic. And you know, like all company, well, that's not fair to say. We, as a company, were, it's unfortunate the pandemic hit. And we were, it's kind of a blessing and a curse to be in our position when this hit. The blessing is we had resources and knowledge on how to help. The curse is it felt, you know, it's a little unfortunate with our expansion was at the cause of a pandemic. And it's an awkward emotion. But we're glad and pleased to be where we are. In terms of what the pandemic did for our business, we early on adjusted our model when we saw Kirkland, Washington, that nursing home out in Washington State. We knew it was coming. In fact, we wrote some early articles on social media and warning people of what was coming and how to prepare. And we moved our model to focus on COVID-19 testing because we thought it was the right thing to do. And on top of our services, but at the time, everybody just wanted testing all of a sudden. And the testing that we use is a PCR based, which means it has to go to a lab, and it's very, very, very accurate, but it has to go to a lab. And so it takes time to get the results back. And our nation wasn't ready for it, just like our stories that I'm sure you've done some stories, Russell, on PPE and some of the shortages there and masks. And, you know, we weren't ready. We didn't have the right supplies on our, you know, national level. State nursing homes had barely any. We've all read stories about physicians and first care providers wearing trash bags for protection. Well, it was the same in the lab space. So here we were doing great favors to get all the swabbing and all the testing done, and our labs got backed up. And so we got caught with some labs that were taking a week or more to get results back. And an infection doesn't wait 7 days to get the lab results back before it does what it does. And so it was some invaluable lessons on growing. And we always try to do what's right for the patient first. So we really ratcheted down our operation, and we couldn't help everybody that we wanted to, but we had to do that because we weren't doing any good for anybody initially. So, and we've done as a company, we have done 54,000 tests since the pandemic began. I should note too that AMS On Site is a clinical practice. We're not a lab, but we integrate and work with labs closely because those results, we need those in order to modify and change and direct our mentorship and our programs for nursing homes.
Well, that makes sense. And it occurs to me that there's kind of three phases if I was going to approach an industry like yours. And one would be prevention. And then second would be, monitoring, finding, detection. So we'll say prevention and then detection and then mitigation, because ultimately you can't live in a bubble. There are going to be infections. Right. And that was the story long before COVID, right? In nursing homes and long-term senior housing, folks get sick. Their immune systems aren't as strong as when they were younger. A lot of times there's a lot of people living in a fairly, confined area. And so I'm just thinking, these folks, when COVID came along, there was already danger. There were already problems, and this just ramped everything up to, I don't know, an 11.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Nursing homes are filled with residents with COPD and other diagnoses. Their immune systems are naturally weakened by age. But most, of course, they're there in a nursing home because they do need additional care for whatever else is happening. There are, I know this number, I'm sure there's others, but from what I know that an average resident in a nursing home has 4.2 respiratory infections per year. And I know you compound that on top of some of the diagnoses, and it's a bad concoction. And, the New York Times puts out a report that's the best one I've seen that compiles all the Department of Health information and presents it to all of us to look at. And as we know, the number we keep hearing is of all the deaths, 41% of them are coming out of nursing homes. I think in Oklahoma, when I reviewed the data last weekend, that your state was up 1% over the week before in terms of infections. And I know you had about 4,600 cases a week ago, and about 1,700 staff members, your first line care providers, that are doing an amazing superhero job, had contracted COVID too.
Yeah, it's not a pretty situation. So moving forward, and this is part of the conversation I had with Rusty, is about the shifting paradigm in healthcare. And in Oklahoma, we have closed several of our rural hospitals. We have a pretty sharp nursing shortage in Oklahoma, and we're not alone. I think that's a nationwide thing, but Oklahoma definitely has that. And so telemedicine is increasingly becoming an option for people. And one thing that the pandemic did do was relax some of the restrictions on telemedicine and some of the requirements from various states. I would imagine that may be true in Maryland. I know it's true in Oklahoma. And as AMS begins to expand its services into Oklahoma, do you touch that part of it as well? The part that Rusty's doing with telemedicine and telehealth?
So not as AMS on site, but through our partnerships, absolutely, Senior Care Partners. We, in order to help nursing homes out of a crisis, whatever the crisis is, and one of the ones that you mentioned here was recruiting and staffing issues, we'd like to be a resource to the nursing home, where they've entrusted and partnered with us. So let's make sure we know other things out there. So if they ask us, we can make some recommendations, and we have some experience with some folks that we've worked with at other homes. And so telemedicine absolutely complements what we do. Telemedicine is a great way to extend care for so many areas, rural populations, even, real inner city populations. It covers 24/7. And many times our attending physicians in long-term care, they're I'm not going to say they're 9-to-5ers, but they're day shifters. They don't like have a cot there and sleep there and come out of their room when somebody needs care. It's a limited access. So absolutely, telemedicine partnerships are great. That expands coverage, especially again, like I said earlier, when infections don't rest, they don't sleep, and we're especially with COVID. And so we need to respond faster and support nursing homes, with immediacy, and it really does help out. I would make a comment, and Rusty and I talked about this, and you and I know it too. There's nothing better than a face-to-face interaction, but if you got to wait a day or two to do it, it's a moot point anyways. And the other thing that telemedicine can really do is triage, and can really help out not only with administering care and addressing what staff should be doing next, be it cohorting or medication or admission to the hospital or whatever. But it can also use it as a tool to say, make a phone call after the telemedicine and say, hey, you really might want to get in here and get face to face with this person. You need to, you know, touch, feel, look, and get a kind of another perspective on what I'm seeing here.
Right. And the doctor or the RN or whoever is on the other end of that telemedicine call could also say, you don't need to go to the hospital. You don't need to put yourself at risk by leaving your home. Right. So there's that side of the coin. Let me ask you this, and you're being very generous with your time. I do appreciate it because I said 10 minutes and I think I lied, but let me ask you this real quick, Al, which is, when you guys go into a new nursing home facility or long care residence type situation and look around, I'm sure the first thing you do is assess, you know, take a baseline. Where are they at?
That's right.
What are you seeing is the primary, I guess, issue that you're needing to deal with right off the bat going into a new place?
You know, I got to tell you, it's the basics. We do what we call facility assessment when we start off. And we look at processes, guidelines. We ask for issues related to antibiotic usage. We look at infection control logs. We also do a lot in observation, watching staff and how they work and what they do, looking for signs, watching for face masks, hand washing, hygiene. Anyone who's listening, I cannot tell you how important it is to wear a face mask properly. if you're, it's really important, especially in those settings where you have folks at higher risk, like a nursing home. And so we do have an observation sheet. We do share it with the facility, and it does provide us the baseline. And the information that I would tell you is it's PPE. It's wearing the protective gear. It's wearing the proper gloves. It's washing hands. It's understanding step down or clean room areas. Simple reminders too. We don't go out to the parking lot. But another thing we hear a lot is people chewing on their pens, chewing on their fingernails, leaving work and, you know, getting in their car and, you know, to wipe down that steering wheel. You know, it's simple things that we keep seeing over and over again. And we're also fatigued and we're tired. And when you get fatigued and tired, in general, we're hearing nursing home staff were already struggling and now they're down another 20%. By one study, I've heard that I'm low, but by one, email that are not one email, but one article that I read, you know, that makes for some dedicated workers, but we're tired. And a golden nugget is that this is kind of just 101 training, but we forget. It's really important that when you work with your clinical staff, your care providers, you motivate them and don't yell at them. They're tired. They've been yelled at all the time now. And, you know, you got to give them some attaboys and praise them for being committed and get them to be protective, and that will protect residents.
Interesting stuff, Mr. Harrison. And I appreciate your time very much. Ellsworth Harris is with AMS Onsite, based in Annapolis, Maryland, but about to expand into Oklahoma in a fairly big way. Do you have a timeline?
Well, we're already there now. I can't really disclose which chain we're with because I don't really have their permission.
Fair enough.
But we're already there now. Rusty and Sunshine Care Partners are leading the charge to bring our infection preventionists into Oklahoma's long-term care communities.
And from all accounts, we could use the help because, like every state in the union, that is where we're seeing the most infections and sadly the most fatalities. So, listen, I very correct. Much appreciate your time today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
I would just add, there's a big issue going on about visitation opening up, you know, allowing family members to come into nursing homes to see their loved ones. And it's met with contention. It's met with concern and also with embrace. And I'm not here to offer an opinion, except for I see, you know, it's tough. It's a tough thing, everyone. Nursing homes, those residents haven't seen their loved one for 6, 7, 8 months. They have basically been in isolation, it's not good for their health, their morale, or their longevity as well. Depression is at high levels in nursing homes as well. And so for all those reasons, visitation is needed and necessary. But at the same time, visitation has enabled nursing homes to not have the open door that they used to have and that sense of community now it's a lockdown door, you know, taking temperatures or a test in advance. And, you know, it's a kind of a more structured military-esque type of concept in some homes. I don't know how they're doing it in all of them, but I've been listening and reading. And so I guess my comment would be that it's happening because the government has asked us to, you know, allow this and embrace this. And if you have a loved one in nursing homes, you know, do your part and be safe. And if you're feeling sick, do not go, because it's not only jeopardizing your loved one, but it's a whole tight community there too. But you'll be reading more about it as I have. It's starting to happen now. And I'm a little worried about, if you were to call me in 2 or 3 weeks, was it a good idea or not? We'll know. But more to come on that chapter real soon.
Yeah, I would lean towards the side of caution. Personally, I'm not in that position, and I'm loath to give advice to people who miss their loved ones. But gosh, FaceTime or something might be safer for everybody involved. Yep. That's just kind of my thoughts. Well, anyway, Ellsworth, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. And imagine we will talk again soon.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
You stay safe out there.
Bye. Thank you. You as well.
You've been listening to KRMG In-Depth, the podcast. I'm always looking for stories about the people, places, and politics of Oklahoma. I'm easy to find on Facebook, or you can always email me and the entire KRMG news team. The email address is news@krmg.com. I'm Russell Mills. Thanks for the listen.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.